Good morning. It's good to see you, and we appreciate that you're here. As we have a number of visitors, I add my word of welcome. Appreciate that you're among us. Good to have the Hayes here again, and I'm glad that they're doing well. Good to see them. And also mention that Brother Craig Finney has identified with us. For those who are not in the adult class, he made a public confession of sin and spoken with the elders as well, and wishes to be identified with us. And so, just so that everyone is aware of that, we certainly welcome him and appreciate his faith and his determination to follow God. Also, Brother Ralph has asked me to give a personal request. If you'll remind me, Brother Ralph, at the end of the services, I'm going to make that announcement at the end, so it'll be fresh on everyone's mind. So at the conclusion, during the announcement, there's another announcement we need to add before we close from Brother Ralph, okay? I think I've done all the housekeeping I need to do. And let's turn our attention to the study this morning. As, of course, we know our nation today honors mothers and annually with Mother's Day, but it provides us an opportunity to study what the Scriptures say about mothers, and particularly about a mother's love this morning, as indicated in the reading from Proverbs, the 31st chapter. She's certainly there. This worthy woman is a mother whose character and conduct holds her in a position of honor and respect and regard in her family, from her children, from her husband, from others, and from God Himself. And so it's right that we give time and attention to know what God's will is about motherhood and our response to that as well. Of course, we know that mothers cherish their children. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7, he says, we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. A nursing mother cherishes her child, holds the child close and tender, nourishing that child, feeding that child, and bringing that child along. In the same manner, though, it's important to know that the children need to cherish their mother. Children should cherish their mother just as surely as mothers cherish their children. Proverbs, the 19th chapter, verses 26 and 27, God's Word says, "He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." And so, just as certainly as mothers hold their children close, nourishing them, caring for them, loving them, so also children are not to chase away their mother. They are to hold them in a similar point of cherishing, of loving, of tenderness, of care and respect, to receive her instruction, which in Proverbs we'll note some of those in our study, that mother's instruction is to be held on to, worn, as it were, lived and followed. And so part of Mother's Day is children remembering their mothers, honoring their mother, being thankful for their mothers. Husbands need to, too. Husbands need to cherish the wife who is the mother. Proverbs 31, you see in the worthy woman there, in verses 10 through 12 that she's introduced, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. She is of value far above ruby. And it says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And he acknowledges that, he sees that, he knows that. And so in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. So part of Mother's Day is also for husbands whose wives are mothers to remember to praise her, to honor her, to thank her, to recognize that she is a vital part of your family. and that she helps to build the house that brings honor and respect to God. And so motherhood is held up and exalted by God, not as simply just some natural process that is just inbred, inborn. Motherhood is something that's learned. It's not purely instinctive. And I believe we see that in the Word of God. Is motherhood is just not something that you just, you know, you have a child and bingo, now you know all about motherhood. Now you know how to be a mother. Oh yes, certainly there is the nourishing and cherishing, there is the love and affection, but you see, at the same time, Titus 2 and verse 4 tells the older women to be teaching the younger women to love their children. And this word is the affectionate care for a child. So mothers need to learn to be affectionate. That's not simply in every respect and regard instinctive. If it were, the women, older women would need to be admonishing the younger women to love their children, wouldn't they? That'd make no sense unless there was a need for it, unless there was that in fact the conduct, the traits and characteristics of motherhood need to be learned. And so mothers are challenged to do that learning and to receive that instruction and even admonition, as the word says there in verse 4. Now, same time, mothers, and we'll be speaking particularly to mothers today, but of course there's general applications here to fathers and to all of us in different respects. We have to learn the other aspect of love, which is the goodwill and the decision of mind to conduct oneself with goodwill toward others. That's agape, isn't it? That's Ephesians 5 when it says, as be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. So just as Christ sacrificed for us, he gave himself for us, then we're to walk in love. We're to imitate God. So mothers are to imitate God. They're to imitate the selfless service that love generates, that agape is the very treatment of other people. Now, more on that later. Proverbs 31, going back to that, notably, as we already mentioned it, motherhood is to be honored. It's not to be minimized, discarded. Many of the attitudes about family these days are of such that minimize the place of a mother. Legalized abortion certainly has just disrupted the whole concept of a mother's love. And so God's word is emphatic that mothers need to be honored. And we hope to do that this morning. And I know that you're doing that. And not just over a day in May, second Sunday in May every year, but that we instill within ourselves the honor and respect and regard for motherhood and specifically for our mothers. You know, everything being equal, and saving some tragedy, we, as a general rule, outlive our mothers. And so while we have our mothers, let us cherish and honor and respect our mothers. Let us understand and appreciate what motherhood is. And that also helps to accomplish that respect and regard that God wants us to have and to be teaching the next generation of honoring motherhood and honoring mothers. We talk about the God-fearing mother. The God-fearing mother builds her house. Proverbs 14 and verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. So, you see, it's not an accident. It is a deliberate work in progress for a woman to build her house, for the God-fearing mother to be about that work. Now, clearly, children are gifts from God. Hannah is the very Bible example of the mother who, the woman who was barren, and she could not have children. She prayed earnestly to God about that. She said, "Lord God, if you will hear your maidservant, if you'll provide me a male child, I will devote him to you all the days of his life." God accepted her prayer, blessed her with a child. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 19 that the Lord remembered her, and she bore a son and named him Samuel, which means heard by God. She was heard by God, and because I have asked for him from the Lord, and of course she devoted him to God. So part of motherhood is understanding that our children really are not ours, they're God's. They're blessings from God. They're not obstacles, they're not in the way. They are God's blessing to us to use in a godly way, or to help in a godly way, to devote to God. That's not the right word, but to receive God's gift as children, and to so conduct ourselves as parents, fathers, and as mothers, to devote our children to God. Now, to do that, we've got to commit ourselves to God ourselves. Mothers must devote themselves to God. Now, perhaps this is a place to point out that I don't know any perfect mothers. Do you? I know your mother's perfect, right? Or if you're a mother, you're perfect. There's no perfect mothers, and there's no perfect fathers, because we've all sinned, and we all, just none of us are that. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says that above all things love one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. The injection of love into any and every relationship is an opportunity for the removal of those things that hinder, and for the adhering or adhesion together of those things that are honorable in the sight of God. See, so when it comes to motherhood, they're not any perfect mothers, but the mother who is loving and being loved, the one who loves God, the one who loves her children, the one who loves her family, that's the mother who is seeking to overcome those errors, those sins, with love. And children need to accept that too. It's unfortunate that sometimes mothers are held to unrealistic demands, and we shouldn't do that, like anyone else. Mothers are learning, remember? Titus 2 and verse 4? They're learning, and they're living by faith. Remember Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and mother of Timothy? It says, "I recall the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also." So, the Eunice and Lois, they helped to rear Timothy because they lived by faith. And so mothers, God-fearing mothers, are living by faith. They're listening to the Word of God, and they're living the Word of God in their homes, in their lives. And they are setting the example for their children of learning and improving, of examining themselves and correcting themselves, of letting God's Word instruct and guide and increase and strengthen you in your own faith. Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, well, we do that by letting God's Word be the standard by which we examine ourselves, and by which we then correct ourselves. And the God-fearing mother takes God's Word in hand and does that, allows God's Word to become the mechanism of examination and of correction, of learning and growing and maturing as a mother. That's the mother that fears God. That's the mother to hold in honor. That's the mother to respect and to assist, not to despise, as I'll chase away, is that Proverbs says, Proverbs 19 and verse 26. Let me get more specific with you and talk about the active love of a God-fearing mother. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. We'll make specific application here to motherhood and to the love of the mother, particularly in the application of the general points that are made about love here. Of course, we understand in 1 Corinthians 13, talks about the motives of love in verses 1 through 3, and then it talks about the character of love and the permanency of love. And it is this character of love especially that I want to draw our attention to when it comes to mothers and their motherhood, and their lives as mothers. And remembering, the wise woman builds her house, Proverbs 14 and verse 1. She doesn't try to destroy it, pull it away, pull it down. She's in the business of building her house. And the best way to do that is to build a life that circles around and is active in the practice of love that's in this passage. Let's read the passage maybe even before we go to the specifics. The passage says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It is not provoked, and it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now we'll think about those this morning in terms of mothers. That the God-fearing mother, the one who's actively involved in love, is a love that is patient. The God-fearing mother is patient. Long-suffering, some of the versions say. Mothers need a big dose of patience, don't you? As little ones, and not just when they're little, as they grow up. Patience, the ability to control yourself in word and in actions. This is crucial to what love is about. And so I hope that if you're not a mother, you say, oh, this doesn't apply to me. Well, it applies to every one of us in our lives. But we're hoping to try to help make application this morning to being a mother. You see, a mother needs patience to be a teacher. She needs patience to instruct and correct. She understands the control that she must apply so that she can be effective in helping to rear her children. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9 says, and 8, especially Proverbs 1, verse 8, says of this matter, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. Perhaps it would be good for us as sons and daughters to meditate a while upon the instruction or the law or the teaching of our mothers. And reflect upon what teaching we received from our mothers that now we are living. Is it around our neck? Is it an ornament that graces our life? Our mothers have tremendous influence over us. And the God-fearing mother, acting with this love, this active love of agape, understands that with her patience, she's putting ornaments around her children that's going to shape and mold their lives. And of course, that is also going to be seen, her long-suffering, her patience, also in her life with their father. You see, with her husband. Because in that same text of Titus 2 and verse 4, where he said, older women admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. So the God-fearing mother knows that her patience, her long-suffering love is going to be observed by her children as well as received by her children. And she turns her attention to controlling herself in her words and her actions so as to generate and instill God-fearing faith in her children. The active love of a mother, of a God-fearing mother, is kind. Love is kind. Remember the Proverbs 31 in our reading. It said that the law of kindness, it said her tongue is the law, on her tongue is the law of kindness. So she here is a mother who speaks generous words. Children who observe her kind treatment of others, of their siblings, of themselves, of their father, of neighbors, of brethren, of whoever it is. You see, again, our children are observing us and the godly mother acting in kindness knows that her treatment of others is being assessed by her children. They are listening to how we talk about other people. They are listening and observing how we treat other people, whether we're fair and just. Oh, I know, you know, siblings always think that they're getting the short end of the stick, right? Oh, you don't treat me like you treat them, you treat them better than me. That's kind of common, right? But in truth, with age and maturity, that usually removes itself, because you see the godly mother, at least, not playing favorites, the godly mother is being kind toward all her children and others, and that thoughtful respect is going to be transferred to her children. This is what motherhood is about, transferring these qualities to your children. The active love of a God-fearing mother is not envious. God-fearing mothers don't envy other people. They don't envy other mothers. They don't envy other children's situation, other children or other situations. You know, they don't become jealous. They don't become there's an occasion in, you know, when envy rises up in a family like that, all kinds of trouble comes. Genesis 30 and verse 1, you remember? Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children. Rachel envied her sister. And to Jacob, she said, "Give me children or else I die." Rachel envied Leah, and that rivalry continued throughout their lives. Well, the God-fearing mother is not a rival to somebody else. She's not in competition with the other mothers. Okay? That's just not the way she thinks. That's not the way she acts. She is thankful when someone else is blessed. She is thankful of her own blessings. She's not envious of others. She knows that children are a blessing or heritage from God, and she's grateful for that. Envy is an insidious attitude that displays itself in the little comments throughout the day. The God-fearing mother knows, again, she orders her conduct, her heart, her life in a way that is not envious of others, because she does not want her children to grow up to be people who are envious toward others. Well, it says that love is not boastful, or it does not parade itself. The godly mother doesn't show off her children. Think about that. They'll show off plenty on their own, right? Yeah. But the godly mother is not about parading her children before others. That's not what she's about as a mother. No, she's kind, she's humble, she's faithful. And there's a couple of proverbs that I think speak to this basic point. Proverbs 31:31. Give her the fruit of her hand, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She doesn't have to, and she doesn't go around boasting and parading herself or her children to others. Her words speak for themselves. Look at Proverbs 27 and verse 2. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. The godly man, a godly woman, the godly husband, godly mother, is not about praising herself. She understands that she has a work to do, and it's not about showing off. It's about simply meeting the responsibilities of motherhood. And when you do that, when you are this consistent mother of kindness and humility and generosity and faithfulness, your advice and your counsel will be sought out. You don't have to put yourself out there as being something other than simply living your life as a faithful mother. And God, by the way, your husband sees that, your children see that, God sees that, and that's enough. That's enough. So she's not boastful. Her works praise her. She's not arrogant. Chapter 13 and verse 4. Brother's not arrogant, not puffed up. The godly mother, the mother who is actively loving her children, her family, not puffed up. Of course, she takes pride in her children, but she also teaches them humility. She teaches them to be humble in their demeanor, in their treatment and conduct of others, and to be thankful and have gratitude, not arrogance toward others. She is not rude, verse 5 says. She's not rude. That's that unbecoming quality that injects itself to hurt in word and in conduct, to hurt others. That's not conduct of a woman professing godliness. Remember 1 Timothy 2 and verse 10 talks about the adornment, the clothing of the godly woman, but he talks about as one who professes godliness. So the mother who's professing godliness is careful not to be rude. Because again, that's a trait that children can learn from the mothers and fathers. And we don't want to be teaching that to them. The active love of a godly mother is unselfish. She does not seek her own. Love does not seek its own. It's not selfish. The idea of love here is it doesn't insist on its own way, and so we make the application to a mother. The mother doesn't insist on her own way. She understands her place in the family. She understands that she is submissive to the leadership of her husband and that she is submissive to the Lord. And by doing that, she becomes the example of meekness and of humility and of a pure heart that strengthens the faith of her children. She's not selfish. And again, that's a fundamental quality of love, isn't it? Because it's always seeking the goodwill of others before itself. And so she is living that trait of unselfishness. But what else? It says that love is not irritable or provoked. The godly mother works hard at not being irritable. And again, we get back to the self-control issue. I know as mothers and fathers, again, that proviso, of course, parents are teaching their children self-control, to be obedient, to stay away from what's wrong, exercise self-control. Well, one way that godly mother does that in her love for her children is herself to exercise that control. They say mother's self-control is challenged by her children, whether it's a 5-year-old, a 16-year-old, or a 25-year-old. Self-control is something that a mother or father, for that matter, every one of us have to continually work upon. But she knows this godly mother who fears God and wants to love as God says to love, is working hard not to be provoked, but rather to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control, Galatians 5 and verse 23. So, take a deep breath. Kids are running 14 ways, and you know, you're supposed to be somewhere and do something, and you know, the devil wants to use that against you. So, use it instead. See it, and exercise the control that demonstrates the love that you have for your kids. Not resentful. Love's not resentful. Verse 5, as he says, it says, let's go back and read that verse exactly. It says, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, it thinks no evil. It thinks no evil. Here is a love that is not disparaging and critical and hypercritical. It thinks the best. It doesn't keep a running score. Mother's love doesn't keep a running score toward her kids or her husband or anyone else, because that's not what love does. And she does her best to teach her children, don't keep a running score. That's not love. Because you see, we all, at some place, at some point in our life, need forgiveness and mercy and forgiveness, and so we must show mercy and forgiveness. And she does not hold a grudge. She does not become embittered, because that conveys a message that is against love, contrary to love. And you see, she's not, well, she puts others before herself. That's the essence of love. And of course, that's the quality we want to instill, and that's the quality that we must live ourselves as Christians. The godly mother, the one who is actively loving, does not approve of sin. Verse 6, chapter 13, 6. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice. It does not take pleasure in. It does not engage in or take delight in lawlessness. The godly or the active love respects God's law. The mother is not, she respects the rule of God. She respects the rule of her husband. She's not a usurper. She doesn't seize the authority in the home. And she understands that there's an authority that she is under, the authority of truth, the authority of God's will, and her love respects that above other considerations. You see, she rejoices in the truth. Like John, she has no greater joy but to hear that her children walk in truth, because she rejoices in truth, and she does not rejoice in iniquity. She's guided by the truth of God. She's not guided by the world's truth. She's not guided by what her children say is the truth. This woman, this mother, is guided by the truth of God. That's the mother you want to be. The one who rejoices in the truth and does not condone that which is sin in violation of the will of God. She does not compromise truth for her children, because that's not love. That's not love. And so she rejoices in truth, not in iniquity. Now, this active love of the God-fearing mother patiently continues to always love her children. You see, it bears all things, it believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Look at the application. A mother's love bears all things. A mother's love endures the burdens of her family. She does. The mother carries the weight of the concerns for every single child that is hers. And she carries it in a way that fathers don't, but they do. The mothers do. So that's what love does. And uniquely as a mother, she does. And, you know, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'd be concerned about a mother who doesn't bear the burdens of her children. Yeah? She bears all things. Now, shouldn't she be honored for that? Shouldn't she be respected and thanked and loved for that? I think so. She believes all things, it says. Believes all things. That is, she trusts all things. She trusts God. She trusts in the love of her family. She Proverbs 23 and 22. Proverbs 23 and 22. Look at that proverb with me. 23:22 says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. You see, when we're young, we trust our mothers. Our mothers get old, our mothers trust us. Don't despise your mother, he said, when she's old. Because she trusts you. She believes all things. She's trusted you with her care and keeping until the last breath that she draws. So that trait that she has is one that in turn is reciprocated by the child who holds her in esteem and regard. The mother hopes all things. She expects all things. She expects the best from her children and for her children, and gives herself to that task. Mothers endure all things. The loving mother endures all things. She withstands the long night when the kids are sick and they can't sleep. The uncertainties of illness and the uncertainties that come as children grow. She endures those things. The doubts. She endures the disappointments. She endures. She continues to endure because, you see, she has this love that is a mother's love that goes beyond an affection. It goes to the deep and abiding commitment of heart and of will given to the child. That love never ceases. Verse 8. That love endures. Yes, mothers are a gift from God. They're God's gift. Not all mothers are the mothers they ought to be. And we're sorry for that. Those who seek to be godly mothers recognize and examine themselves and grow and mature in Christ. They give themselves to faith in God and to embracing their children, to be a God-fearing mother, and as children to honor our mothers for that. It's our responsibility is to hold them in that regard and that respect and that love. I want to close, though, with a passage with you from Isaiah 66. In Isaiah 66 chapter, the mother's love is a picture here of God's love for His people. It says in Isaiah 66 and verse 12, thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. That is, I'm going to give this to Jerusalem, to Zion. I'm going to give this to, he's talking about the church. I'm going to extend peace. Then you shall feed. On her side shall you be carried and be dangled on her knees. You ever seen a mother carry her child on her side? God says, I'm going to carry you that way. The mother's love. He said, I'm going to carry you that way. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. God uses mothers to tell us how he takes care of us, how he comforts us. So as mothers, give yourself to being that kind of devoted mother who loves your children as God has loved us. And the children, to have this respect, regard, and love for them, for that work that they do, for who they are in our lives, as a blessing from God, and as a point of reliance and dependability, and regard that strengthens our character, strengthens our faith, and give her that regard that, that God gives her and that she's due. If you're not a Christian this morning, what we want to encourage you to do and to understand is God says that I will care for you the way a mother cares for her children. But you have to give your heart and life to God. You have to decide to have faith to follow Jesus, to trust Him as the Son of God, to confess that faith, and to repent of your sins against Him. To be baptized into Christ, to be saved from your sins, and then to live the will of God in your life. To be faithful and true to Him and in all things. If you're not a Christian, you can become one today. But that is just the starting point of a life then devoted to honoring God, to following Him in all things. We hope you'll make that decision as God's people. If we haven't loved God as we should, if we've sinned against God, let's correct that sin. Let's repent of it. Change our hearts. Give up the sin. If it's public, let's use this opportunity to make that right. We'll pray together with you if you need our prayers. We urge you to respond to God's call while we stand and while we sing.